They are not trying to be part of the American way of life. They are not trying to be part of our culture. They are here with an agenda to make Islam the law of the land. Of course, not all Muslims are like that. But we've been infiltrated with this kind of agenda. And America has to wake up, because we are strangling ourselves with our political correctness. What's going on?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Radio Jihadists. You're back with Radio Jihad, the patriotic resistance movement. I'm Vito Esposito, Mama Mia, no Sharia. Our call-in number tonight.
Area code 347-857-1380. Radio Jihad.
I love that. You gotta love that.
Area code 347-857-1380. Radio Jihad.
I'm joined by that no poor getting America lover. Al, how you doing, Al? Al? Al, is it something I said? I must have. I hope he knows our call-in number.
Area code 347-857-1380. Radio Jihad.
Well, I want to say hello to everybody in the chat room. Hey, Doc Miola, how you be? Good to see you again. Drake Strum, Hasidus, welcome back. Kel, infidels are watching. Paul Sutliff, Rabbi Nachman, he gets the kudos for the Mama Mia No Sharia, first in the chat room today. Rob L., welcome back. And, of course, last but certainly not least is Iggy Mom. Good evening, Iggy. And hello to everybody in the podcast. Al will be joining us here shortly. In some light news here, you know, we're all watching the Second Amendment and how, oh, here we go. Speaking of light news, Al, good evening.
Hey, I wish I was light. I've been putting on weight. I got knocked off. Sorry about that. Hello, Radio Jihadists. It is great to be here.
Well, welcome back, Al. Glad you can join us. We start at 6 o'clock, as you know. So,
Take it out of my 401k because it's Barack Obama. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of Barack Obama, I was just going to go into, you know, how Barack Obama is exploiting the Second Amendment issue and gun control, and they've pranced up the little happy ass from California. Yeah, Senator Barbara Boxer Shorts, and they're going to try to infringe upon the Second Amendment. They're going to use every gun crisis in America as a means of exploiting the Second Amendment, the Constitution. Of course, we all know Sheikh Obama despises the Constitution and is looking for ways to curb free speech, the First Amendment. And now he's in full attack mode on the Second Amendment. And, you know, you had the shootings at the schools and sad and tragic. But then you have something here that doesn't make sense. Florida high school student reportedly suspended after disarming gunman. A 16-year-old Florida high school student says he was suspended for 3 days for wrestling a loaded gun away from a teen threatening to shoot. Now, where are the security guards? Where are the Obama police? Where are the anti-Second Amendment fringe nuts? Why weren't they protecting the school bus? Fox4Now.com reports that the student, who attends Cypress Lake High School in Fort Myers, tackled a 15-year-old suspect on a school bus after he allegedly pointed the weapon at another student. I think he was really going to shoot him right then and there, said the student who declined to be identified. According to the referral the student received the following day, he was suspended for his role in an incident where a weapon was present and given emergency suspension, the station reported. The boy's mother told FoxForNow.com her son was suspended because he refused to cooperate with the investigation, adding that he was scared. The suspected gunman was arrested and charged with possession of a firearm on school property and assault with a deadly weapon without intent to kill. Sergeant David Valise of Lee County Sheriff's Department told the station an investigation into the incident is ongoing. School officials declined to request for a comment for Fox 4 Now due to privacy issues. So the student's a hero, and now he's being admonished. He's being suspended from school for being a hero, preventing what could have been another tragedy that could have been exploited by the Obama administration, all the left, the radical left-wing, radical progressive Marxists out there. And the student did the right thing. This makes no sense.
No, especially after the Connecticut shooting, when the whole country, well, granted, you know, that was when I say the anti-gun people, they use the death of those children to push that political agenda. And then here you've got a situation with another potential shooting on a school bus that was averted, and the shooter gets the most light sentence from the judge. It defies all credibility, every sense of anything that is right and fair, considering all of the craziness and all of the rhetoric and the uproar and the hand-wringing from everyone from Congress to senators to law enforcement. It is absolutely makes no sense. There must be something else going on here. What do you think that could be?
Oh, gosh, I don't want to even get into the possibility of being conspiracy theorist. I mean, my goodness. You know, you got the Obama administration that's hell-bent on exploiting the Second Amendment. They've been in full attack mode since the alleged shooting at Newtown in Sandy Hook, Connecticut. They're trying any which way they can to attack and play down the Second Amendment. They're trying to impose the radical left-wing progressive social Marxist Barbara Boxer's agenda on the Second Amendment to curb guns in the United States. They're trying to change the vernacular from it being the government as being the tyrannical government, and that's why people have the right to bear arms. They're turning into a sport shooting. You know, oh well, you don't need a 15-gun clip if you're sport shooting. That poor deer, you only need to shoot it once. Or how about that dove? You know, it's all a crock of crap, and it's also an attempt to align the United States to the United Nations, Al. You know, this godforsaken president that this country has anointed not once but twice is hell-bent on tearing down the United States, or at least bringing down the United States to a more socialistic mentality, where the citizens are more dependent upon the federal government, where he's rendering the Constitution insignificant, looking to attack the First Amendment free speech, and he's clearly going after the Second Amendment.
Yeah, and these students are heroes, Vito. They are heroes. They say that. I mean, imagine you're on a bus. We've all ridden buses to school, and you're on a bus, and it's filled with screaming kids, and all of a sudden somebody pulls a gun, and all you have to do is move 16 inches left or right, and you can hit 5 to 10 people, depending where you are on the bus. And yet these students took it upon themselves to wrestle this gun away from this potential murder situation. And rather than what's not happening that I see, Vito, is I see that this story shows that these students took it upon themselves to stop this situation. It showed the American people, it showed people taking action to stop a potential violent situation instead of having to rely on the government to come in and protect you, relying on the law enforcement, relying on the police, relying on your congressmen and senators. This is American exceptionalism at work, and that's why I don't think that you're going to see this story hit the airwaves. And you know what else it reminds me of, Vito?
What's that?
You remember that shooting or the guy who pulled his gun in a mall? There was a shooter in the middle of the mall who I think might have killed three people. And
yeah.
Then this one guy pulled his gun on the shooter, but he didn't take the shot because there was potential for collateral damage. And then he stopped this gunman from having a huge massacre in this mall because he was armed. He knew how to use his gun, and he took the personal responsibility and ended up saving a lot of people's lives. That story also did not make the mainstream media. That kid was not labeled as a hero. And I think there may be some similarities here.
Well, sure, the liberals want to exploit the tragedy. They would rather that three or four kids would have gotten shot, maybe one or two killed on that bus, and the liberals would have had their field day. They would have had their day in the spotlight, and Sheikh Obama would have taken his happy ass down to Florida, shed a tear on the corner of his eye, and called for more restrictions on guns. This should never have happened, blah, blah, blah. You know, we've all heard the same old mantra, the same tired left-wing drivel that they like to spew. So, you know, they would rather have this as a tragedy. And this kid who did the heroic thing, he did the right thing. He protected other students. He protected a potential tragedy if, in fact, the kid was going to shoot. And instead of being rewarded, he's rewarded with being suspended, which goes on his record.
And this is the same government school system that suspended a kid for making a gun out of his fingers and going pop, pop, pop and playing shoot 'em up with his fellow students. With
yeah.
his hand, shaped as a gun. And they suspend that kid.
Well, we're raising nothing but pansies these days, you know? I mean, in our days, we were allowed to bring something to show and tell. We played with army men. We played war. We played cowboys and Indians. Oh, today, heaven forbid that you even make a gesture or even draw a gun in class. My goodness, the gun doesn't go off, but all the liberals go off. And all these little political, correct, multicultural assholes all take it upon themselves to think they're going to right society. I mean, my goodness, this is how low the United States has sunk with these people and their absolute left-wing radical mindset. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's almost like these left-wingers are trying to delegate a utopian society, that the only way to do that, and the communists tried it, the socialists tried it, and they all failed. Totalitarian regimes try it, and they fail because they believe all power should be sent from the top down rather than power from the people going up. And yet, no system is perfect. There's going to be flaws in everything because we're human. We make mistakes, but we have the ability to change it. Our system, our founding fathers, our form of capitalism allows us to make mistakes and right wrongs. As a country, we righted the wrong of slavery. We had a civil war over it.
And you know what?
Countries,
go ahead.
No, go on.
Well, isn't that the whole maturation process? I mean, let's face it. The founding fathers had a great schematic and put that schematic on paper. And they built this country off of that schematic. And then it's incumbent upon those after our founders to take the ball and run with it and mm-hmm. to make it even a greater nation, which it did up until 1913. But we've gotten, you know, we've gotten great in the 20th century. A lot of innovation occurred. I mean, kids today don't even know what the hell a VCR is. They don't, you know, they knew what, they all I know is about computers. I mean, we didn't have those back in the 60s and the 70s. Hell, I mean, and now we're a nation of wussies. We're a nation that believes that the government is the answer to our daily life, and it's amazing. 1960, John F. Kennedy: "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." And today, the 2013 Obama mantra is, ask what the government can do for you. And the people that are asking what the government can do for them think that there's this endless money tree of benefits that the federal government provides. And they have no idea who the federal government is and how it's made up. And, you know, it's really sad, the mentality of the dumbing down of America that's occurred.
Bravo. You've nailed American exceptionalism absolutely right down to its pure and most honest essence. It is not a perfect system. Never was, never was meant to be. Our founding fathers knew that society evolves, people evolve, people have inherent weaknesses, power, greed, there's gluttony, there's the seven deadly sins or whatever. We're people. This is the human condition. But America allows for people to succeed or fail based on their own merit with a minimum of government interference. And that's how it should be. That's why we're a superpower in 230-some-odd years, unheard of in the historical record.
Well,
for a society to achieve that much greatness in two decades, it's unbelievable.
You know, it's unbelievable. It shows that it's certainly attainable, and you know, we have attained. The Constitution is a great platform, and it's a great guiding light for America to evolve into the greatest nation in the world, which it had. And mm-hmm. it's amazing, and it's frustrating and frightening that we have now this left wing radicals who despise the Constitution, see it as a speed bump in their road of changing America. And I'm talking about Sheikh Obama. I'm talking about Nancy Pelosi. I'm talking about Harry Reid. And it's disgraceful. It is disgraceful that our founders who worked and gave their lives to create this nation, our parents, our fathers and grandfathers and great grandfathers who fought in wars to preserve this great nation, how their undertakings are undermined by a radical transformation of this nation. And those people who are simply takers in this nation, simply takers, believe that the federal government is the one that can provide for them, and have no idea and really don't want to know that it's taxpayers who fund the federal government. And I'll tell you, the Obamas are living large. Sheikh Obama is doing everything he pleases at this point. He probably believes it's reparations. And it's disgusting. Nothing's getting done in Congress because Harry Reid is getting his marching orders from Sheikh Obama. And in the meantime, you know, while the House has a majority, there's nothing they can do because it has to go through the Senate. And we've all seen how the good old boy Senate network is working out, haven't we? You know, the anointment of Lurch Kerry as Secretary of State, the anointment of Chuck Hagel, the anti-Israeli, anti-Semitic, as the defense secretary, and oh, wait, he's a Republican. So now Sheikh Obama can blame the Republicans for any dastardly deeds of the Defense Department. So, I mean, this is all a great mission on the part to undermine this country. And I'll tell you, Sheikh Obama is doing a great job. I said a lot in there, so sorry.
No, it's, you think Sheikh Obama, yeah, I guess he is doing a good job promoting the communist agenda without question.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, look how he's attacking the Second Amendment. Look how this guy has exploited the Second Amendment. I mean, first of all, we have a $16.5 trillion debt and growing. It's grown 60%. Now, for all the math people out there, okay, for all the math people out there, when he went into, and he came into office, it was as president now, not as senator. That's yet another story. But as president, it was $10 trillion. At the end of his first term, it's $16.5 trillion. Now, under the old math, that equates to a 60% increase in the debt. 60% increase in the debt. And this man has shown no fiscal restraint. He has no fiscal fiduciary responsibility. And frankly, he's a flat-out liar. He's lied about everything. The latest lie is the biggest lie, and that is sequestration. And don't you just love it? You have a report from the Washington Post that Lurch Carey is in Egypt, and this is a quote from Lurch Carey. Okay, Lurch said in a statement, where is it? Secretary of State John Lurch Carey released $250 million in badly needed economic assistance for Egypt. You know, I read that and I about went nuts. Here we have a situation where Sheikh Obama has been traveling the countryside for the last 2 weeks. The sky is falling. Sequestration's about to hit. Oh, we got to cut $85 billion, which is 8 days of spending. 8 days of spending, okay? We got to cut $85 billion, and the first responders are going to be laid off. We're going to have military ships that are going to be docked. Your kids aren't going to get fed. Teachers are going to have to be laid off. I mean, it's an absolute dire economic woe that's going to be infringed upon the United States of America. Now, the first lie is sequestration was Sheikh Obama's idea. Sheikh Obama did not have the backbone to tackle any of the economic situations in the United States, so he was playing a little trump card. 16 months ago, he decides to defer these cuts because, one, if he's unelected as president of the United States, then it falls on to the new president, and that would ensure the new president going to take the blame. And guess what? A new president is what? It would be a Republican. So you blame the Republicans. Now that he's been reelected, sequestration goes into effect, and to Boehner's credit, they've held pretty firm, and they're not bending over backwards to shake Obama, and they called Obama's bluff. But see, Obama being the vindictive individual that he is, goes around the countryside, and now he's blaming the Republicans for the very issue that Obama caused, sequestration. So he doesn't have the ability, or I should say he doesn't have the financial ability to be to have the fiduciary responsibility of the American taxpayer at heart. All he has is the spending ability and this whole moniker of raising taxes on the rich so they would pay their fair share, right? You need to pay your fair share because you are the problem, Mr. Rich Man, Mr. Businessman, Mr. Small Businessman. You're the problem as to the reason why the debt has grown 60% under my administration, which we're not going to talk about. We're not going to address it. But now the sky is falling. And Sheikh Obama is getting a pass by the establishment media idiots who have the same ideological mindset as the dolt that's in the White House. So they picked on the 1% in order to attack Romney during that 16-month period. And then Obama gets reelected, and now it's the top 2% that are the problem. Not the 1%ers, it's the 2%ers that are the problem. And then sequestration creeps up. And so let's drop the hammer, and let's blame the Republicans even more. Let's blame them even more. But in the meantime, we're going to give Egypt $250 million in badly needed economic assistance. Badly needed. As if the United States of America's economy does not badly need it. But the excuse, Al, the excuse is real simple. This was already appropriated under last year's budget. Then unappropriate it. How freaking hard is that? $250 million. Oh, well, maybe you could pay for those EMTs in New York or other first responders. Maybe, just maybe, it could be utilized right here in the United States of America. We're giving out free Obama phones. We have food stamps increased by 50% in the United States. More people dependent upon the federal government. We have now extended unemployment benefits, not for 52 weeks, but to 99 weeks. And guess who pays for that? Businesses.
99 weeks. What does that mean to the small independent business owner? Because that's huge. That's up by a third. That's almost, what, 3 years of unemployment?
Oh, you want my opinion on that one? I'll give you my opinion on that one. What does it mean to business?
Give me your opinion. I want to hear it.
One, I'm very reserved, as you can tell. I don't have much of an opinion. The state unemployment coffers. Hi, Diane from Freedom Wings. Okay, the state unemployment coffers. Every state in the United States has an unemployment compensation fund. Now, that may mean nothing to employees, other than if I get laid off, I go down and I file my unemployment, right? Sounds pretty simple.
Wait. Hold on one sec. Who pays for this unemployment fund? Where does that come
I'm
from?
I'm glad you asked. And you jumped the gun. So please be patient. You want me to answer this question? I am very short on opinions. I have no opinion, remember.
All right, walk me through it. Like
all
grade
right.
school. I never heard the word before.
All right.
So, and I'll shut up. I'm muting.
No. You're good. Now, each state in the union has an unemployment compensation fund. We all agree with that, okay? And the unemployment compensation fund is funded by businesses in each state. So based upon the number of employees, you pay a percentage of your of the payroll that you pay each employee each quarter. The employer writes a check to the state based upon the money that they've paid out in employee wages for that quarter. So let's keep it simple. You've got five employees, and you've paid those five employees $1,000 a month. So in the month of January, you've paid the employees a total wage of $5,000. The same in February and the same in March. So that's $15,000 in employee wages that you've paid, okay, to your employees. Now you got to take that $15,000 and multiply it times 1%, and I'm using it. It could be it could be 0.1%. It could be 5%. But before the government extended benefits, it was typical you'd pay 1%. So for that quarter, you'd pay $150 on the first $7,000 of payroll for each employee. Okay, each employee until they make $7,000, you have to pay 1% employment tax to your state unemployment compensation fund. You follow me so far? Keep it simple. Okay.
Keep it real.
All right. Now, the democratically controlled and led Congress, in their infinite wisdom, extends unemployment compensation funds or benefits to the unemployed worker from 26 weeks to 52 weeks. Now, each state is set up to where they will, we'll use the state of Florida. The state of Florida set up to pay benefits for 26 weeks to the unemployed worker. Well, the economy's in the tank. We have to take care of those unemployed businesses are closing. So you know what? We're going to extend benefits from 26 weeks to 52 weeks. Okay? That sounds great. I'm unemployed. I'm going to get $275 a week, not just for 26 weeks, but for a total of 52 weeks. Well, guess what? The employers in the state have been funding the unemployment compensation fund based on a 26-week payout. Well, what do we do for the next 26 weeks? Well, you know what? We're in the hole $350 million a month as a result. So Charlie Crist, who was then governor, decides he's going to borrow $350 million a month for 2 years from the federal government, $2.1 or $2.2 billion borrowed. This is Charlie Crist now. He's borrowed $2.1 billion so that our unemployment compensation fund for the state of Florida would not go bankrupt, would not be defunct. But you and I, as business people, for our employee wages, we're still paying based on 26 weeks. All of a sudden, in 2011, this $2.1 billion note comes due from the federal government. You got to pay it back. You got to pay this money back. Well, Charlie Crist, he leaves to run for the U.S. Senate, and he leaves unscathed. Except for one thing. That 1%, you know, ABC grocery store was paying 1% payroll tax, unemployment compensation tax. You know, that $2.1 billion has to be paid. Your new payroll tax is going to be 5.1%. Well, how come? Well, that's what it is now. Well, I was paying less than 1% tax on the first $7,000 of employee payroll. Yeah, but the new tax is 5.1%. Well, how come? Well, because we have to replenish the fund. Well, why do I have to pay it? Well, because we have people that are unemployed and we're now paying benefits out. Yeah, but I just paid 1%. I paid $150 the first quarter of last year. Now that same $15,000 of payroll, I'm now going to pay 5.1% tax, or $760. So my tax as a business went up from $150 to $750, so I'm paying another $600 in taxes because the federal government loaned Florida $350 million a month. We're just Florida. Massachusetts was in that hole. New York is in that hole. California. There was a total of 9 states that were getting ready, were on the verge of going under because the Congress, in their infinite wisdom, decided that they were going to take the easy way out and extend benefits from 26 weeks to 52 weeks, now to 99 weeks. And now Sheikh Obama can be real happy because he's got more people depending upon not just the federal government, but now the state governments. And guess who pays for it, ladies and gentlemen? Your employer. And if you are self-employed, if you in the chat room are self-employed or own a business and you have employees, I don't know what state you're in, but you'll understand that your unemployment compensation tax fund went from $80 to $960. $960. That first quarter where we've paid $80, we paid $960. That's over a 900% increase. And you absorb it because you can't charge the employee. And by the way, you didn't anticipate this. So that first quarter, which is in April, you're writing a check to the state government for 900% more, which you didn't anticipate. And if you're lucky enough to have saved a little money, it's gone. It is gone.
And with the sequestration, all that sequestration is, Vito, is 2.3% cut in government spending on the budget, because the government budget has something called the zero baseline budgeting. So that 2.3% comes out of the increases that are automatically in government budgets, So there's that 2.3% doesn't even come off of, it's not even a savings. It's a savings on future increases. So the government talking about the sky is falling. Meanwhile, small business, which you just articulated so beautifully, had a 900% increase. And that's got to come from somewhere, and it comes out of your employer's pocket, which is going to come out of the employee's pocket at some point down the road, either through having to lay people off because you can't afford it anymore, and if you happen to save some money for future growth, that money's gone. And then if you were thinking of hiring another employee, you would think long and hard about it, because who knows what other kind of increases are going to come on down the road. It stifles business. It stifles growth. It stifles expansion. And it slows the economy down. Not to mention, let's say that you're one of these people that are unemployed. For two solid years, you're out of the market because, you know, why should you really try to find a job when you can work under the table and get benefits from the government?
Right.
If you're willing to take government money, get on the dole. It's a positive incentive for you not to work and to live off the dole of the government.
Absolutely.
And what does that do to a person's self-esteem? It kills the self-esteem of the individual, and then that translates into the family. All of a sudden, the breadwinner is no longer the breadwinner, and it is psychologically, it's bad for the family, it's bad for the individual, because after 2 years of being unemployed, you try to get back in the marketplace, an employer is going to be reluctant to want to hire somebody who's been out of work for 2 years.
And that's it. You know, you brought up a good point. You're out of the workforce for 2 and 3 years. There are a lot of, in some cases, depending on your specialty, things have changed. You're now 2 to 3 years behind in your business. You're having to learn again. And so there's no incentive by the federal government to get these people back to work. Well, it's a safety net, Al. It's a safety net.
Yeah,
sure,
you hire some college kid. Yeah, you hire some college kid. You're a middle manager. All of a sudden, an employer, if they've got to retrain you, they're going to hire some college kid that they can pay less and train them how they need to be trained.
I got a buddy that has 12 employees, or had 15 employees. And when he got his first tax bill that first quarter last year, his cost on his unemployment compensation went up almost $2,000 from what he paid the previous first quarter in the previous year. He laid off 3 employees. He cut hours of his employees from 40 hours to, I think it was 36 hours. He and his wife went into the business and worked full time, and they picked up many of those hours so he can save that payroll. I mean, you know, people say, well, you know, it's only $2,000. But, you know, that first and second quarter killed him of the year. It was $2,100 additional the first quarter, and then the second quarter he had to pay another $1,600 additional. Not to mention the additional taxes that were being put down against businesses in Florida. You know, the payroll tax, the gas tax. Okay, people say, well, there's no additional gas tax. No, but gas prices went from $3 a gallon to $3.80 a gallon to $3.90 a gallon, $4.05 a gallon. How are you going to continue to afford that? Where do they think this money's going to come from? And, you know, he did it, and now you've got Obamacare to contend with. And I was talking to him last week, and now he's freaking out about Obamacare. And you and I talked about this story, which I thought was kind of interesting about Obamacare. Here you have these good liberals, these rich liberals, raising money for Sheikh Obama. John Stryker raised over $60 million for Obama campaign. He owns a medical equipment company that is now subject to the 2.3% tax under Obamacare. So what does the good liberal John Stryker do? The compassionate liberal John Stryker do? He lays off 107 employees in a quest to cut $100 million of expenses due to the onerous Obamacare 2.3% tax that's being imposed on medical equipment companies. He has the audacity to lay off 107 employees, employees, mothers, fathers, who are looking to, you know, who are raising a family, who are looking to towards retirement. John Stryker, an Obama supporter, a left-wing radical liberal, has the audacity as a 1%er, oh, sorry, as a 2%er, to actually cut his payroll and his staff because the 2.3% Obamacare tax is an onerous tax on his business. So he had to find a way to cut $100 million. And now John Stryker has put 107 million people out of work, when in fact he raised over $60 million for Obama campaign. I think that John Stryker should go back to Sheikh Obama and tell him his campaign should refund the $60 million to John Stryker so they can save the 107 jobs that John Stryker cruelly cut. I think it's a travesty that these liberals are showing so not compassion of their fellow man by laying him off and not absorbing that cost. I mean, it's only the right thing to do.
But when it happens to them, Donna Brazile, she is a Democratic operative, a high-level Democratic operative, and she sent out a tweet 5 days ago. She said, "What's on your menu?" question mark. She said, "Just got off the phone with my health care provider asking them to explain why my premium jumped up. No good answer." During Obama's term between 2009 and 2012, premiums have climbed $2,370 for the average family with an employer-provided plan. And that's a rate faster than or during the previous 4 years under President Bush, according to Kaiser.
Well, where does she think it was going to happen? I mean, this is all by design. Health insurance premiums had nowhere to go but up. As soon as Sheikh Obama and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid decided that they were going to implement this thing called Obamacare, and as soon as Obama made the declaration that health insurance needs to be guarantee issue and that you have to leave your kids on until they're 26 years old. I mean, what do these people think? Do these people think that the insurance company is going to absorb this additional cost? I mean, ask John Stryker. Why is he absorbing $100 million? Now, multiply that times $100 million. And then ask the insurance companies. Who would be insurance companies that sell health insurance out there? I don't know. State Farm, Nationwide, Humana. You know, where do they think these companies are going to pay for this stuff? How do they think they're going to pay for it? Obama knew full well that insurance costs were going to increase. He gave some bullshit speech about cutting insurance costs, and now people will have less insurance premiums to pay. They won't see the increases. Oh, really? In 2009, our company health insurance went up 33%. In 2010, it went up 26%. We had to shop around so that we would only get an 18% rate increase in 2011. Obama knew full well that rates were going to increase because of the mandates that he put in place prior to the enactment of Obamacare. He's one of the slickest. You know, they called Bill Clinton Slick Willie. Sheikh Obama is one of the biggest liars to ever occupy 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. He's lied about Fast and Furious. He's lied about Obamacare. He's lied about Benghazi. And now he's lying about sequestration. And these good little liberals like Donna Brazile are all up in arms now, and they don't understand it. Well, Donna, you were in the front line. You were sitting at Obama's right hand. You know what? Shame on you. And good for you. Pay the freaking premium and keep your mouth shut because you support this bastard.
Yep. And for all these 20-somethings now who think that Obamacare is going to be free and it's going to be like getting an Obama phone and all of a sudden you've got health insurance, think again, fellas, ladies and gentlemen, 20-plus generation, you have to pay into it or else you are going to be labeled as a freeloader by your very own society. And granted that most 20-year-olds don't purchase health insurance because they don't need it at that point in their lives. They'd rather spend their money elsewhere. And rightfully so, because that's the prudent thing to do at that point in your life. But what's going to happen is now they're going to have to start paying money out of their pocket to get this government health insurance, and they're going to get screwed. And they're going to be paying for the elderly now who are going to be on Medicare and Medicaid. Correct me if I'm wrong, but they're going to be the big winners because now all these 20-year-olds are going to be paying for them.
Correct. And don't forget the latest thing that come down that hasn't been hitting the wires, that people that the establishment news media is kind of suppressing. Those same people that now are going to have to start paying for health insurance, all you got to do is if you check smoker on there, your premiums will be at least $4,500 a year. So you're going to go from possibly paying $1,000 a year for health insurance to paying over $4,500 a year if you're a smoker.
Yeah, and they will do blood tests on you to see if you have nicotine in your system. So if you have a nicotine patch or you smoke the smokeless cigarettes, you're screwed. So now,
hell yeah.
Smoking, why don't they just make tobacco illegal? Just make it illegal.
Because
it's
paying for
an illegal substance.
Well, because Congress is paying for their kids program, SHIP. That SHIP program.
Pardon me? Can you say that? You can't say that.
Oh, I can't. I'm sorry. We have a clergy in the room too. That, what is that thing? The SHIP program.
I'm not. We'll strike you down.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it really is. It's amazing how this. The mindset in this country has changed dramatically in just 8 short years. It really is. The liberals are doing their darndest to take control, and they're doing a pretty good job, you know, changing the mindset. Somebody in the chat room, I think they were talking. Thank you, Iggy. It's SHIP, the SHIP program. SCHIP, Al, not T. P.
E. Okay. All right.
Somebody in the chat room, I'm sure, was referring to that other genius from California, Maxine Deep Waters. And Maxine Waters was giving a speech how 170 million people are going to lose their job when we have 134 million people working. You know, and if they can say a lie enough times and keep repeating it, they know, the liberals know, they're not going to be challenged. And this, especially somebody like Maxine Waters or Sheila Jackson Lee, you know, people can call them idiots all they want, but they continue to get reelected. And they continue to go unchallenged for saying stupid things. You know, Maxine Waters, she's useless. She says stupid things. As a matter of fact, she's also a thief. And you have the ethically challenged Maxine Waters now making statements about 170 million employees being out of work as a result of sequestration. We only have 134 million people working in the United States. So is she taking into account Mexico? I don't know. I mean, how can you make such a stupid statement? Well, it's Maxine Waters, the ethically challenged congresswoman from California. And the establishment media says nothing.
Well, she's been saying stupid things her entire career. But the other part of this, too, economically, that is so dangerous, not only is it just bad for our country, but from a national security standpoint, Vito, This will make our country weaker economically. And then as we become weaker, our adversaries will feel emboldened to flex their muscles and test our stature and test our strength as a superpower. And don't be fooled for a minute, but when you've got Iran, you've got North Korea, which just blew a tactical nuke, and now they're developing the system to deliver it. The Iranians have the system to deliver it. They're developing nuclear weapons. You've got Russia. You've got Venezuela. Not to mention the Islamist threat. We have a lot of natural enemies in this world who want to see America take it down a peg or two from its superpower status. And that's going to cause destabilization within the world. And as our adversaries, peace, as Reagan said, it's peace through strength. That's the only way that peace happens, when people know that whoever they're screwing with can actually take them off the map, and then they act peacefully. But as we become weaker economically, our adversaries are going to feel emboldened to act, and it will make the world a much, much more dangerous place.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I can't help but think of one quote that goes hand in hand with that. When you're describing Sheikh Obama, who's supposed to be the leader of this great nation, he's supposed to have the fiduciary responsibility of America at heart. But I think of this quote: "The Muslim Brotherhood must understand that their work in America is kind of a grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers, so that it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions." I think about what Sheikh Obama is doing to this country. I think about how Sheikh Obama had sanitized the Arab Spring. And what does this have to do economically, Vito? Well, it all ties together. Because you have a president in the worst economic times that America has faced since the Great Depression, has given $1.4 billion to a designated terrorist organization, Hamas, under the guise of rebuilding Gaza, under the guise of shoring up the Palestinian economy. They set up $750 million under the State Department fund to rebuild and build mosques in the Middle East. Why? So they like us. They set up $150 million to fund Muslim technology in the Islamic world. Why? They already know how to use cell phones. They detonate bombs with them. He's given, appropriated $3.4 billion to Egypt. And in that process, he sanitized the entire Arab Spring, the so-called Arab Spring, saw to the ousting of Hosni Mubarak in Egypt. We all know the story. But he sold it as a democratic movement. You know, Ahmed Badir, United Voices for America, left Florida, went to Tahrir Square waving an Egyptian flag, you know, to participate in democracy. And that democracy, what turned into Sheikh Obama embracing and helping install the Muslim Brotherhood into Egypt, into power, where the Muslim Brotherhood believes that Sharia is the law of the land in Egypt? No longer are the edicts under Hosni Mubarak, under Nasser, under Mubarak, are they even relevant in Egypt? Because now the Muslim Brotherhood has the stronghold in Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood has a movement going on in Libya. The Muslim Brotherhood has a movement going on in Yemen. And Obama has embraced this movement. He's embraced the anti-colonialists. The Muslim Brotherhood seeks to undermine the Western democracies. And Obama has embraced that. I mean, hell, the Muslim Brotherhood is telling America, what it has in store for it. The Muslim Brotherhood must understand that their work in America is kind of a grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within. And Sheikh Obama has carried out this duty wonderfully. He is giving our enemies, and he's given our enemies American taxpayer money that we don't have, Al.
Yep. And it's corroborated in their constitution, the Egyptian constitution. Articles 2 states, quote, Islam is the religion of the state in Arabic, its official language. Principles of Islamic Sharia are the principal sources of legislation. But here's the kicker. Al-Azhar, you know the university, Al-Azhar University? That is, it's kind of like the Harvard University. It's the, as far as Islamic law is concerned, Al-Azhar is the hand down, whatever they say goes. Now, this is Article 4 of their constitution. It says, Al-Azhar is an encompassing independent Islamic institution, okay, with exclusive autonomy over its own affairs outside of the government. They're responsible for preaching Islam theology in the Arabic language in Egypt, and here's the kicker, Vito, theology in the Arabic language in Egypt and the world. Al-Azhar senior scholars are to be consulted in matters pertaining to Islamic law. So what that means is that Islamic law is the law of the land in Egypt. That's great. They're Muslim. That's what they believe. Fantastic. But now they've given, through their constitution, they've given Al-Azhar the university, they've given them carte blanche to spread their message around the world. That means they're going to be spreading it to non-Islamic countries rather than just keeping it amongst themselves. What they want to do themselves to their own people, have at it. But once you expand that and you start infringing on my rights or challenging my constitution, my country, I have a big, big problem with that. And then what you started this segment with Lurch Carey, promising more money to give to Egypt to give them to promote Islam around the world and in America to make our country weaker. That is a sign of insanity.
Well, sure it is. It's making our country weaker. And why this is not being addressed by the establishment media in this country is beyond me. At some point in time you have to throw your hands up, but you're disgusted. You're disgusted that the establishment media has fallen over backwards to sanitize and protect Sheikh Obama. The guy is one of the least qualified individuals to lead this nation. He is not the right person, as Warren Buffett had stated in April of 2009, to take this country and move it, quote, forward. He's not the right person. He never was. His ideology is not in tune with what our founders had envisioned. He's not a free market guy. He's not a free enterprise guy. And he certainly is not a capitalistic individual.
But then how do you explain that he just got elected to a second term? Maybe the United States is inching or moving to the left, and and we just don't want to accept it.
Yeah, I mean, as well as, you know, aside from the fraud issue with this guy, because he's an agitator at best. I mean, he's a community organizer, and he does a masterful job. And let's call him the Pied Piper, because didn't the Pied Piper start playing and he had all those rats following him, the mice following him? He's the Pied Piper of 2012. First of all, the Republicans really need to get their head out of their ass. They don't have anybody who's willing to get their hands dirty, their feet dirty, and to get down in the mud with Obama. Obama did a masterful thing. What did he do? He started the Occupy Wall Street movement, him and his henchmen. See, Obama believes in the opposition as not the opposition, but as the enemy. If you oppose Obama, you are the enemy. He talks a good game. We all know that when his lips move, he's lying. But he talks a good game. He gives good speeches because words mean nothing to him. He sounds like that all-inclusive individual. But Obama has no – he's got no qualms about going after the opposition. They are the enemy. And when he went after Romney, he knew Romney was going to be the nominee. And I don't care what your opinion is of Romney. I don't care. But for one thing about Romney, he was a businessman, and he was probably the right person to lead this country through the economic woes of George W. and of Sheikh Obama. But Romney also had a gentleman's edge to him. And I saw that back in 1994 when he ran against Ted Kennedy for the United States Senate seat in Massachusetts. He was doing well until the debates, and then it was gone because he was a gentleman. He was a politician from the old school. You can't have that anymore. Obama has taken to a new level, and we see it each and every day. What does he do about the Second Amendment? He demonizes the opposition. He lies about what's going on in this country. He sees an opportunity and he seizes it. The guy goes on vacation. The guy takes a lesson from Butch Harmon, one of the premier teachers in the world. He plays golf with Tiger Woods. There are people that can't pay their mortgages. There are people that can't put food on the table. Gas prices have risen to the point where people have got to decide, do I drive to work? Do I walk to work? Do I buy food? That's immaterial to the establishment media in this country. You have to have somebody who is willing to be the beast from the east, Debbie Wasserman Schultz of the Republican Party. You cannot allow this guy to continue to get away with being the despot that he is.
Yep. Hey, Vito.
Yeah.
We have got calls lining up that want to speak with you.
Great.
Take the first one, and I'll work through the list.
I feel like we're gonna be spammed here. But go ahead.
I'm screening. So everyone who is waiting, just be patient, and we will get with you shortly. Here is Nigel.
Good evening. Welcome to Radio Jihad, Nigel.
What am I here? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fine right now. I'd like to talk about what your opinion is on Bush, George W. Bush.
Okay. In what way? I mean, just an overall opinion or
overall opinion of what he did, how he ran the presidency, and what he did after 9/11.
How
he reacted to 9/11, of course.
I think he reacted well to 9/11. I think he was a good stabilizer for the country, and at that point, he did unite the country for 30 or 60 days. I think he should have kept the response to Afghanistan and Afghanistan only, and I think we should have went into Afghanistan and just leveled it.
Yeah, but I agree. But do you mind if I voice my personal opinion?
Keep it clean. Go ahead.
All right. I actually think that 9/11 was an undercover conspiracy done by the Jewish. And
okay.
They stole my
yeah. You almost got us there. Way to go. Good job there, you asshole. Okay. I knew we were going to get these kind of calls. So, all right. Well, I apologize. You know, you get those idiots every once in a while, and I guess we're on the Radio Jihad's on that spam list right now that happens. And Dino Diane, you know it as well. You've been through it on a couple of Saturdays. Well, so we got Sheikh Obama spending $250 million of taxpayer money because of the badly needed economic assistance to Egypt. And in the meantime, he's going around the country talking about sequestration and the sky is falling in the United States. You know, it's truly amazing. It's truly amazing how this country allows Obama to continue exploiting these issues instead of leading. The guy's not a leader. He lied to us about the Arab Spring in Egypt. He lied to us about the Arab Spring in Yemen, Algeria, and Tunisia. He lied to us about Benghazi, tried to blame a 13-minute trailer as to the uprising in Benghazi, when in fact he knew exactly what was going on in Benghazi, and he's yet to explain about Benghazi. No one knows where he's at. Now the question is, where was Obama? Just let's not forget one important piece of Benghazi so that you, the Radio Jihad listeners, understand one thing. The ambassador, as you know, is an arm, an extension of the President of the United States. And when Tripoli sends a message that says U.S. ambassador in peril, that message goes directly to the President of the United States. So let's just end it right there. If we know nothing else, we know, and we should laugh in the face of the establishment media, that when the President of the United States is notified that an ambassador is in peril, it's incumbent upon that president to find out how that ambassador is in peril and to do everything in his power to save that ambassador. And Obama did nothing of the sort. And now we have to listen to these former Obama administration people. Well, we don't know where Obama was. Really? He's the President of the United States. His ambassador was in peril. And this is the kind of rhetoric that we have to listen to. And then, of course, you've got the former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, saying, what does Benghazi matter anymore? What does it matter anymore? It matters because four Americans are dead. And you lied, Hillary. And you're covering for Sheikh Obama. So we've got these economic problems here in the United States. In the meantime, we have a president who can't tell the truth. We have a president who refuses to tell the truth. But we also have a president who exploits the truth for his own left-wing, radical, progressive Marxist agenda. And now, ladies and gentlemen, you should be proud that we are going to give $250 million in the wake of the sky falling in the United States due to sequestration, which was Obama's baby. We're going to give $250 million to the badly needed economic assistance to Egypt, which, by the way, is run by the Muslim Brotherhood. And what does the Muslim Brotherhood want for America? Well, the Muslim Brotherhood says that the Muslim Brotherhood must understand that their work in America is kind of a grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers. And we're going to give the very same people that want the destruction and call for the destruction of the United States $250 million. And we're not done there, because we still have another $3 billion to give to Egypt. $3 billion to Egypt. And Obama is bellyaching about $85 billion being cut. 8 days of spending by the federal government to be cut. 2.3% of the nation's budget cut. And we still have a $16.5 trillion and growing debt under this administration, under this president. Just from his presidency, we're not going back to 2007 when he was elected, and it was, what was it, $8.1 trillion debt? Disgusting. This is the kind of people that we have running our country. We have an establishment media who is doing
absolutely.
He ended up being a retard, huh?
Yeah, yeah. That's why I put him up. All these guys are going to do the same thing.
Okay, well, we got one guy who says he's an Obama supporter. He started cussing a little bit. I told him to keep that cool. I told him we moved him to the front of the line because he disagreed with us. So here is Tim Flam. Tim, welcome to the show. And don't be a dude.
Yeah, I wasn't actually disagreeing with you guys. I was agreeing with you that Obama's not doing anything correctly, as you guys were saying. I hope that was a misunderstanding. I don't agree with Obama at all. So,
my apologies.
Like, what do you think Obama's, like, biggest failure has been? Because I'm just getting really frustrated thinking about it, and I don't think he should have been reelected this, like, last year. And what do you think his...
Sorry, I hit the wrong button here.
Yeah.
Well, where do you want to start? We could go right to his first year when he with the TARP program, and he lied about what was going on with Obamacare. Where do you want to go? The Arab Spring is certainly one of the biggest fallacies that he supported, and
what do you think biggest... I do understand Obamacare was a bunch of baloney, I think, yeah. But I also wanted to hear what you wanted to say about gun control. What about what he's doing about that recently?
Well, what do you think?
Well, I think it's not correct at all what he's doing. He's, like, you can't take the guns out of the criminals' hands. They already have them, right?
Okay. All right, yep. We can agree with you there.
So I'm thinking, like, if it's not going to be in our country that they're getting the guns from, they're just going to get it from somewhere else anyway, you know? And, like, whatever he's trying to do isn't really right. So, like, what do you think he just did? I'm not too informed, but if you could get me a little more about the gun control thing he just did.
Well, I suggest that you go to Google and you Google Dianne Feinstein's bill that she resurrected from 1995 that seeks to impose gun control on the United States, which undermines the Second Amendment.
Do you know we have over 9,000 guns in the country?
Over 9,000? That's pretty low.
That's over 9,000!
Uh-huh.
What are you talking about? 9,000 what?
No, this is a joke, Al. I'm not even going to go there. No. Yeah. This is... I think Hoger's right. You know, you get we have our finger on the mute button. This is a this is an orchestrated call and all calls. So
restraint. They actually hit a topic before going into nonsense land. So we'll just keep them on and we'll get to them maybe.
Well, this is the whole idea, Al. It's the whole idea with these guys. What they're going to do is they're going to come up with some sort of thing, and then they're going to get their rocks off by saying the N word and F, you know. I mean, that's what their whole motive is. So, I think we're on a roll right now talking about Lurch Carey in Egypt, and I think we should continue on that, and also Hamas link care, what's going on in Dallas, Texas, in the Texas chapter of care.
Yeah,
I think that warrants a conversation right now.
You want to hit one in the win column before we go back to Egypt?
Absolutely.
I need a good story. These stories have gotten me depressed.
Okay.
I need a win. I want a win. I want a base hit, and we got one in Miami, Vito.
Whoa,
Miami imam convicted of Taliban-related terrorism charges in a federal court. Woohoo!
Whoa. Really? What happened?
Well, a federal jury that deliberated for almost a week found a Miami imam guilty Monday on all four terrorism charges involving his financial support for the Pakistani Taliban, an enemy of the U.S., and Pakistani government since 9/11. Hafiz Khan, 77, an imam of the Flagler Mosque in Miami, showed no emotion as 12 jurors delivered their verdict following his two-month trial, a subdued demeanor that contrasted with his feisty 4 days of testimony on the witness stand. Khan, who faces up to 15 years in prison, was convicted of a plot to send about $50,000, 50 large, to the Pakistani Taliban to help arm its violent mission against U.S. interest overseas between 2008 and 2010. Now, I feel for my client, Karim Wahid. Remember that name, Karim Wahid. He is a stealth jihadist in Miami with the Emerge group. And he told the Miami Herald, he really believes he didn't do anything wrong. I believe he didn't do anything wrong. They never proved that $1 went to the Taliban. They said his words supported the Taliban, Wahid said. They took his record statement, said to the jury they can assume the crime, a crime was committed. What they're not telling you, Vito, is that his kids were also involved. This was a family operation.
No.
And they bolted as soon as the trial started. They bolted over to Pakistan because they didn't know how this was going to end or whether they were going to be implicated. So strike one up for the good guys. And this guy is an imam. And
Now,
for those who may not be aware what an imam is a leader within the community. This man, who was funneling money to the Taliban, was a leader of a mosque in Miami, the Flagler Mosque. That means he is expert in Islamic doctrine and theology. He's expert in Islamic law or Sharia Islamia. This man knows his Islam. He didn't think he did anything wrong. His lawyer, Karim Wahid of the Emerge group, look them up, Google them, Emerge. They are a bad group. They are influencing our politicians. They are a political arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. Busted.
So, an imam, a devout Muslim, a fundamentalist Muslim, imam is brought in to run a mosque in America. He believes, because of course there's no she's, there's no she moms, there's only he moms. He believes that in the Quran, he is one of great knowledge of the Quran, recites it from memory, devout in nature. That means that he brings the principles and he brings the what would you call it, the heritage of Islam with him when he is transported to the United States to now head up a mosque. He brings that Islamic value, that Sharia value. Huh. And
yeah,
so
he's
now
an expert in Islamic law. He knows he's not a, as Robert Spencer says, he is not a misunderstander of Islam. He is the real deal. He knows it all. And what he was doing, he was committing jihad in America. He was committing jihad with his money because he intended for that money to kill American troops overseas.
And raising that money here in the United States in Miami, Florida, right?
Yeah, exactly. Him and his family. It wasn't just him. It was a family operation.
So that means that his congregation was also providing the funds necessary to kill American soldiers.
Right, as part of their zakat, or their mandate. It's obligatory that followers of Islam give a certain percentage of their income to their local mosque or to, so they can distribute it. That is obligatory.
So then why hasn't this mosque been shut down then? Since the imam was found guilty of funneling money and supporting the Taliban, why then isn't this mosque shut down since the imam would get his donations from his congregation as well?
Yeah, that's a great question. The IRS and the Treasury Department should be shutting their mosque down so they can track down every single dollar that has come in and out of that institution since they are a 501c3. From the Muslim perspective, he is not doing anything wrong. He is following Islamic doctrine and theology exactly. This man, Hafiz Khan, and his family are good Muslims. Now, what burns me up is why this guy's only getting 15 years and he's not getting charged with treason.
Well, he's not a citizen of the United States, is he?
I believe he is.
Oh, what?
Right.
Well, then
I'm
you know what?
Sure he is.
Well, wait a minute now. If he's charged with treason, then wouldn't the Obama administration have to admit to one thing? They may have to use the word terrorism.
Yeah. And can they use that word? Does Napolitano allow that word? Oh, no. She doesn't allow jihadi or jihadi terrorists or Islamists.
Correct. And therefore, she's taking that vernacular out of the American language. So therefore, this guy should be charged with treason, sedition at worst.
Yeah. But instead, he's only getting 15 years. 15. That's it.
And so he can spend the next 15 years under the Islamic prison guidelines, and he can start recruiting more individuals to board the United States. He can teach the Quran since he knows it from memory. And he can then take more American blacks and convert them to Islam and help his congregation. So when he gets out, he can then retake over the mosque. He's not going to be deported back to his homeland because we can't do that, right? He's not, because he's not been charged with treason.
No. If he's treason, he should be hanged. In fact, do we even commit people for treason anymore or sedition? I can't remember the last treason. Nadal Hassan isn't even getting tried for treason. He's getting tried for workplace violence.
Right.
He killed people.
Allah.
This is a fundamental problem, Vito. This is fundamental. This is an American problem. This is not our adversaries are doing what we expect them to do. I expect the Hafiz Khans of the world to raise money for the Taliban while they're here in America. Why shouldn't they? I expect the Nidal Hassans and the Anwar al-Awlakis to commit violent acts of jihad here in America because they are following their doctrine to the letter. That is to be expected. What's the problem is that as a country, we need to look in the mirror and be able to identify what their actions are, how it applies to our Constitution under treason and sedition, and that their actions are political in nature, violent, and they need to be tried because the message this is sending, Vito, and correct me if I'm wrong, 15 years isn't going to scare any imam across this country, because even if they get convicted, doing dawah or proselytizing Islam is obligatory. So they go into the prison system, as you said, and they do what's called prislam. That's where they go in. As you said earlier, they go in, and that this gives them an opportunity to take hardened criminals. It takes a segment of the population that is all together in one place, that is angry at the – they are anti-establishment. They're angry at the United States for locking them up. They are prime candidates for conversion to Islam or reversion to Islam. And he'll be able to fulfill his duty to Allah for his remaining days in jail to the demise of the United States of America.
Well, how prevalent though is Prislam? I mean, is this for real?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is very prevalent. Prislam has got to be huge. It is one of the huge problems because, like I said, let's explain what jihad is first. Now, according to this definition from a book called Reliance of the Traveler, or Umdat al-Salik. It is endorsed by Al-Azhar University. If you remember earlier, we were talking about Al-Azhar from the Egyptian Constitution, that they are, their job in Egypt is to spread Islam. They are the sole authority. Well, they gave the okay for this definition that I'm giving you. That means that it is accepted doctrine from the four major schools of Islamic jurisprudence. And it says, quote, from page 599, jihad means to war against non-Muslims and is etymologically derived from the word mujahada, signifying warfare to establish the religion. and we have returned from the lesser jihad to the greater jihad, and they use three Quranic examples. Fighting is prescribed for you, Quran 2:216. Slay them wherever you find them, Quran 4:89, and fight the idolaters utterly, Quran 9:36. Jihad means to war against non-Muslims and is derived from the word mujahadah. And that's to establish, signifying warfare, to establish the religion wherever you choose. And that's what Hafiz Khan was doing. He got busted, he got arrested, and the rest of his clan ran off to Pakistan. They're beyond the reach of the American court system. So I say chalk one up for the good guys, and now it's time for America to wake up, slap treason and sedition charges on this man and any other imam or any other individual that conspires against the United States of America with their money or with arms and violence.
And the families too, Al. And the families that fled to Pakistan, because that's an admission of guilt right there. They should never be allowed to come in this country. And if they're ever in this country, you arrest them and put them up in front of a firing squad for treason.
Yeah, and that mosque should also be shut down until their books can be gone over with a fine-tooth comb from the Treasury and the IRS to make sure that every penny that's going into that 501c3 is legit, that no foreign funds are being funneled through that facility. Because 501c3, the government can easily put a hold on all their assets if there's any whiff of them violating their nonprofit status.
But does this administration have the intestinal fortitude to do that? And I don't even think it's intestinal fortitude. Do you think they have a policy that will go after this type of activity? I say not, because I think that Obama sympathizes with the Dawah and with the Muslim world here in America.
Well, yeah, he did the full bow to the Saudi Arabian king. His Department of Homeland Security chiefette, Janet Napolitano, she essentially whitewashed all the training manuals for the DHS. The FBI whitewashed all of their Islamic training manuals. So CARE and the other Muslims group put their stamp of approval on it. And then the most egregious thing she did was she called the Fort Hood massacre workplace violence, denying all of those men and women who were killed or injured, denying them as they're getting processed to go overseas. She denied the families the status of being of these individual soldiers being wounded in combat. So now the families are getting screwed by the U.S. government, and they've lost loved ones, they've lost their primary earners in a lot of cases, and now the families are, not only did they lose their loved ones, both men and women, mothers and fathers, but their kids now have lost a parent, and they're dealing with that, and then they have to do the added insult of having to deal with an ungrateful government. And that, to me, is the most egregious, and I find it personally embarrassing that our officials, Janet Napolitano, Department of Homeland Security, all the way up to the president, because he obviously put his stamp of approval on it, or he would have had that changed. And I find that offensive and embarrassing as an American that our government would do that to our men and women that are in uniform, whether they're stateside or overseas, because the war is here in America. And Hafiz Khan is a great example of that, because he just got arrested or found guilty for funneling money to the Pakistan and the Pakistani Taliban.
Well,
our enemy knows no borders.
George Galloway, the member of the British Parliament, his visa was revoked to come into the United States for raising money for Hamas. The Islamic Association for Palestine,
George Galloway, did you know that he got his visa? He got reelected to the parliament, and now he can come back to the United States. His visa is now okay to come back into the United States.
Oh, no kidding! So
yeah.
George Galloway can go around the world and raise money for Hamas, a terrorist organization, and now his visa has been – who reinstated his visa?
Well, he got elected to parliament again in England. He's elected again.
Yeah.
He won an election.
So, therefore, his visa now is reinstated as an elected official?
Yeah, that's the long and short of it.
Mm. And Michael Savage is still banned from going into England. Very nice. Or Great Britain. That's makes a lot of sense. Raise money for Hamas, a terrorist organization. Raise money for Hamas, a terrorist organization, who has ties to the Council on American Islamic Relations, who's supported and funded by the co-founders of CARE, who formerly had started the Islamic Association for Palestine, which was raising money for Hamas, was shut down by the federal government, and is now organized under the name of CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, an arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, Hamas supporters, and they're allowed freely to walk around the United States of America. They're allowed freely to walk into Congress and to help dingbats, anti-Americans like Sheila Jackson Lee, with congressional Muslim staffers. So it seems like that we don't have a problem here in the United States now, you know, because we're all inclusive. So we all should be singing Kumbaya, right? We all need to hold hands now. And I think it's important, though, that everybody in the chat room I guess they need to go to their inner feeling now. They need that what would you say, Al? They need to touch the feminine side. We've had a lot of disruption and interruption today, and I think it's incumbent upon us to just stand together and hold hands. Another imam goes to jail. An imam is the prisoner. Raises money for the enemy. Now is going to jail.
That brings a tear to my eye. It's so beautiful.
And Rob L. in the chat room says, "Don't touch my feminine side." And Kel wants a Coke. And Holger says, "My feminine side wants to do it all the time."
Believe that to his therapist.
Yes. I guess you can listen to Holger Awakens on Saturdays. Oh, my gosh. I guess you don't want to sound negative. You know, Kel put something in the chat room earlier that when the Christians leave church, they feel uplifted. And I was talking to somebody, I don't know, was it yesterday or was it Saturday, with regards to that, and how, you know, the Catholic Church at one point seemed as though all they did was keep asking for money, and they lost that effect for sermons, and now it seems like you can go, you know, we listen to the pastor give the sermon, the homily, and it's so positive and it's so spiritual and it's uplifting, and we certainly don't want to, you know, make this a negative issue where you leave, you know, tonight's show with just a negative outlook. There's a lot that we can do as individuals. And I think as we continue to raise awareness and educate, it's amazing how much or how much aware our listeners are. And I look in the chat room and I see the names, and I think if we can touch 10 people, each of us, well, be careful how you touch them, because there's a lot of things I don't want you to get slapped. And again, you might have to go to your feminine side. But I think if we can bring 10 people each, and they can get 10 people, I think there's enough of people that will say enough is enough. You know, Islam is here in America as Omar Ahmad had wanted Islam to be in America. He stated, Omar Ahmad, the co-founder of CARE, Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam the only accepted religion on earth. Now, we need to heed those words. Do we have pro-Islamists in our government? Absolutely. Sheikh Obama being one, Nancy Pelosi being the other, Janet Napolitano in Homeland Security, yes, Hillary Clinton in the State Department, Uma Abedin, her lover. Yeah, that certainly, did I say that out loud? That certainly is a problem. We do have a problem in the United States, but it seems as though there are some parts of government that are working to get these imams, like the Miami imam, off the streets, incarcerated. Why he's not been charged with treason, that's another story. So we need to be vigilant, and we need to be aware of what's happening here in our local communities, wherever you may be, and start fighting back, because Islam likes to bully by instilling fear. And as their book says, instill fear into the hearts of the disbelievers. Well, you know what? We fear no longer. We love this country. We have a constitution that guides this country. It's worked for 230 years. And it doesn't matter what the Dallas CARE leader says. I think now we start putting pressure on our elected officials here at home, our state legislators, assemblymen and women, that we are not going to tolerate the supremacist attitude of Islam. And CARE is a great example of that, Al. You've got the Dallas CARE chapter chairman, executive director of CARE Dallas, who says that if we are practicing Muslims, we are above the law. Now, he said it. He's the executive director of Dallas CARE. He said,
what did he say again? Repeat that again.
Said if we are practicing Muslims, we are above the law of the land.
Interesting. Now, why would he say that?
He said it at the steps of the Capitol building in Austin, Texas. This is an orchestrated Muslim day, Muslim Capitol Day, or Muslim Day at the Capitol. It's orchestrated throughout the United States when the state legislatures or assemblies are in session. The Muslims put the call of prayer out. They get their fellow Muslims to go to the state capitals. And as in the state of Florida, Ahmed Bedir instructed his congregation that the legislature will fear us. His words, not ours. And I believe it's on tape. The legislature will fear us. Now, they are instilling fear into our legislators. I don't know what they're saying to instill fear. If they're threatening our state legislators, that should be a crime. But then again, they are Islamic, and I guess it's just like a Democrat. It's expected of them to say the things they say, and they probably don't mean what they say. They just say it, though. But this is very troubling. what the CARE representative said in Dallas, Texas, on the steps of the Capitol building in Austin, Texas. If we are practicing Muslims, we are above the law of the land. So if you're a moderate Muslim and you practice Islam, you're above the law of the land. If you're a fundamental Muslim and you practice Islam, then you are above the law of the land. If you're a radical Muslim and you practice Islam, you're above the law of the land. And why is that? Why would Muslims be above the law of the land, Al? Why would they be above the law of the land? Put it in very simple terms, Al.
Well, first off, doesn't Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution state that U.S. law shall be the supreme law of the land?
Yes, it does. And judges shall be bound thereby. You bring up a great point, because if the Council on American Islamic Relations has a leader, okay, if they have a leader by the name of Mustafa Carroll, who is the executive director of the Dallas CARE franchise, then CARE believes this. And what he's instructed now is saying that if we are practicing Muslims, it didn't say if we are practicing American Muslims, it didn't say if we are practicing Egyptian Muslims, it didn't say if we are practicing Saudi Arabian Muslims. He said if we are practicing Muslims, that means that he's actually supporting sedition and treason on the part of American Muslims. Because as the U.S. Constitution says, you rightly pointed out, Article 6, Section 2 says, in part, that the United States Constitution shall be the supreme law of the land. It doesn't say Sharia. It doesn't say U.N. law. It doesn't say international law, Nigerian law, Holland law, Netherlands law. It says the U.S. Constitution shall be the supreme law of the land. That means that CARE is now instructing Muslim Americans to commit sedition.
Yeah, but what he said is accurate. He spoke the
truth. Why is it accurate?
Well, the book, the Quran, was handed. This is what the followers of Islam believe. The Quran, their holiest book, was word for word given to the angel Gabriel, who said to Muhammad, he whispered in Muhammad's ear the contents of the Quran. Followers of Islam believe that every word, every syllable, every letter in that Quran is divinely inspired by God himself, or Allah. It is not subject to change. It is not subject to critical analysis. Because for a follower of Islam to even question a word or phrase or thought or paragraph or verse in the Quran is to put themselves above Allah, and that is the greatest offense for a follower of Islam. In some countries, it's even a capital offense in Islamic countries. So they are right to challenge Allah, to say that something in the Quran is not right, or there's a contradiction, or it's not correct, or they don't believe that something in that book is wrong. They may not agree with it. They can't even say it, because then they will become apostates and they will be subject to the harshest of penalties. So what that man said, Mustafa Carroll from CARE, is absolutely the 100% truth. He told us the truth, Vito. He told all of our listeners the truth. And they believe that Allah's law, or God's law, is superior to our man-made law. They believe that their law is superior to whatever is in the Bible, New and Old Testament, the Torah, or any other religious text from any of the other 1,000 religions across the world. They believe that their book is the exact word of God and supersedes every other doctrine, religion, political doctrine. It does not matter. So, yeah, they They believe that their worldview is superior to every other worldview on this planet. No exaggeration. And I challenge anybody, if there's any Muslims in the chat room or followers of Islam in the chat room, I challenge you to call right now and tell me that I am wrong. And I will give $5,000 to any follower of Islam that tells me that that is not true. And you'll get a free DVD of Obsession.
Wow. Well, that's a bold statement to make.
Well, it's fact. I know that it's true. I've been told that by literally hundreds of followers of Islam over the years.
Well, then, what do you think? I've got my thoughts about Mustafa Carroll, the executive director of Dallas Fort Worth Care franchise. I've got my thoughts that this guy is promoting sedition. This guy should probably be arrested and deported back to whatever country that he believes that he should be from. I think he should be deported back to the Islamic world, even though he's a homegrown born. And that makes it even worse because he was born right here in America.
Yeah, especially when you analyze what that one sentence says, that we are above the law. The ramifications of that statement, when you break it down and extrapolate it out, are huge and dangerous.
It's very dangerous. And not to change the subject real quick, but Bigfoot wants to know if you have any Canadian dollars on that $5,000.
Yeah, we can go Canadian. I'll go Canadian. I'll even go the dinar. I'll go any denomination.
Paul says, he says, how about pesos?
Well, that would be about 70, 80 billion pesos.
No, 5,000 pesos, you can get off with $7.
Yeah.
No, we're not using the pound sterling, Kel. Yes, what you said is true, though. You have a member of CARE making a seditious statement, making a very frightening statement. And this is where the establishment media sanitizes Islam. This should be front page news. You're talking about a devout Muslim standing on the steps of a state capitol in the United States, and he's telling his followers, if we are practicing Muslims, we are above the law. Well, then this actually is contrary to what the imams have been pitching in the United States. We're just another religion. We believe in Jesus Christ too. We want peace and tranquility for everyone. We all can coexist. But now they've elevated the rhetoric to another level. You know, first back in December, you had Jihad Awad going on Al Jazeera TV saying the United States and Sharia and Islam are twins. And we've debunked that fallacy by Jihad Awad. Islam and the United States are not twins. But that's for another show again. I don't want to go off and bore people. You have Sharia law being a proponent of co-founder of CARE, Jihad Awad's co-founding buddy, Omar Ahmad. Islam's not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. So it appears that at a slip of the tongue occurred by Mustafa Carroll in Dallas Fort Worth CARE franchise that states what CARE's real intent is in the United States. So Jihad Awad goes to our congressmen and women. He sells them a bill of goods. He goes on Al Jazeera claiming that the United States and Islam are twins. And then, lo and behold, 4 months later, not just 4 months later, their own representative, Mustafa Carroll, is telling practicing Muslims, and that would be moderate Muslims, that would be radical Muslims, that would be extreme Muslims, that would be Muslim Americans, that Muslims are above the law of the land. And it actually confirms what you said, Al. Islam does not believe in man-made law. And therefore...
Some would even go as far as to say, Vito, that those words from Mustafa Carroll could incite others to violence, which would be in violation of Resolution 1618 of the OIC, the Organization of Islamic Conference.
Oh, you had to bring up the OIC, huh?
Yes, because it is. It's a violation of the OIC 1618. But the Muslim world is silent.
The Muslim world is silent.
Insightful words. Yeah, those are insightful words, or could be construed as insightful words.
It's very insightful. I mean, it's inflammatory, it's anti-American, it's seditious, and it borders on treason. And therefore,
yeah.
Mustafa Carroll should be arrested. He should be arrested for inciting violence.
That would be the equivalent of the Innocence of Muslims, the Innocence of Muslim movie that caused riots and deaths, murder and mayhem around the world. That was the movie that portrayed Muhammad in an accurate, in a historically accurate light. They said that that movie incited violence. But of course, we're not going to, Americans are not going to respond violently to the words of some idiot at CARE named Mustafa Carroll, because we don't operate like that. But they are insightful words. I find them offensive, patently offensive at the highest of levels. And he's going to get off scot-free for saying that, except for here.
Yep, he's going to get off scot-free, and Jihad Awad from CARE is not going to be out there making any statements. Dougie Hooper from CARE is going to be silent. They're going to play the victim card. They're going to continue with their victimization of Islam in the United States. And and the real feeling, the real intent was expressed by Mustafa Carroll, the director, executive director of the Dallas-Fort Worth CARE franchise. We now know what CARE really stands for. Hamas-led CARE. I'm sorry, Hamas-linked CARE, believes that Muslims, if you're practicing a Muslim, you're above the law of the land. And I think everybody now, for 4 years that you've followed us, I'm happy to say that Radio Jihad has been vindicated yet again, and this time out of the mouths of babe. Out of the mouths of babes. We've been vindicated. By their own admission, Radio Jihad, who have been called Islamophobic, have been called haters, who've been told that we're not telling the truth about Islam, Mustafa Carroll has confirmed what we've spoken about here for 4 years.
He spoke the truth.
We were right again, Al.
Yeah, and, you know, frankly, I'd rather have many Mustafa Carrolls. He's like Anjem Choudhury in this case, because he spoke the truth. He's not telling us lies. He is not trying to be deceptive. He told us exactly what was on his mind. He told us what was factually correct according to Islamic doctrine and theology. They're not going to backtrack from that, because you can't backtrack from Allah. You can't do that. They would, if they backtrack from what he said, then they'll be offending Allah and political Islam. They can't afford to do it. They back themselves into a corner.
No, you know what? I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen. They're going to wait 2 to 3 days, depending on how viral this story goes. They'll wait a few days, and then Jihad Awad will get on TV. He'll go on some talk show. He'll have that soft fatherly voice, that soft grandfatherly voice, I should say, and he'll say that Mustafa Carroll does not speak for CARE. He has been misled. We have asked him to resign. Depending on how much traction this story gets, Mustafa Carroll will be expendable for exposing CARE for what they really are, which Dave Galbitz had confirmed, which now they've confirmed Dave Galbitz is Muslim Mafia book. And what he and Chris had learned while they infiltrated the Council on American Islamic Rights Relations. So Jihad Awad will go out there and he will spin this. Dougie Hooper, the spokesman for CARE, will go out there and say that Mustafa Carroll was speaking out of context. He will also state that his words were taken out of context, and this goes to show further that Muslims in America are being vilified for being Muslims because this is not what he meant. He'll spin it. The establishment media will have saliva running down their mouth, and they will not react to this as if somebody committed a seditious act. And then we will never hear from Mustafa Carroll again. Much like Parvez Ahmed, he'll be sequestered out to some remote area of the United States, like Jacksonville, Florida, to be head of the Human Rights Council. He'll probably go to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, or he'll be then mentored probably by Muzabil Siddiqui in Orange County, California. You'll see that CARE will, depending on the traction that this story gets, Mustafa Carroll will be an afterthought, or he'll change his name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and here's something that everybody can do. I just put the story up there in the chat room. Everyone who's in there, aggregate this story out to everybody on your down list, everyone in your social network, everyone on your email list, and get this story out there. And let's let it go viral and see what happens. That's something that everyone can do from their computer, and you just send it out, tweet it out.
Infidels are watching, Kel. Put it out there. And infidels are watching. Let's have a Facebook campaign and let's put this out there. This story explains everything with regards to Islam's intent. And it tells you exactly what CARE's intent is in the United States. And there's no way that they can spin this, no other way to spin this except for Jihad Awad to come out and say that Mustafa Carroll did not speak for all Muslims. He was misdirected, he was misguided, or Ibrahim Hooper will come out and Dougie will say that he was misquoted.
Yep. You know what we're going to hear? We're just going to hear nothing but...
Yep. It'll be camels walking by, man.
Well, we got about 2 minutes left. You want to go and do your close?
Sure. Thanks. I want to thank everybody in the chat room for coming out this evening. Bigfoot, Drake's Drum, Freedom Wings. Catch Diane tomorrow night from 6 to 8 p.m. Green Dog, always a pleasure. Our guest that hung in there despite the interruptions that we had from the spammers. Hasidus, nice to see you again. Welcome back, man. Holger Awakens, Kel. Infidels are watching. Mary, Mama Mia, no Sharia. Moving forward, nice to see you. Rabbi Nachman, always a pleasure, Rabbi. Rob L., thanks for participating tonight, and I like some of your comments in there, too. Iggy Mom, always a pleasure, Mom. You're the best. MP91, Eliza Jane, catch her Wednesday nights right here on the Radio GI Network from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. She does a great job as well for us. Al and I will be back next Monday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right on the Radio Jihad Network. Check us out on our website, www.radiojihad.org. On Twitter, # Radio Jihad Network. And like us on Facebook. We're on Facebook, too. We're becoming social media rats. Al, any closing remarks?
Radio Jihadist, thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.
All right, catch Eliza on Wednesday night, Gotti Adam on Thursday night, Friday night, the Dapper Man from Across the Pond, Adrian Morgan, and Saturday, the man himself, Osama Duck Duck. Thanks for putting up with us tonight. God bless our troops and God bless America. Radio Jihad, striving to educate America.
Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.
I mean, I love her.
She's great.
Where did you find her? She comes in at the right time all the time.
Like wow. Like, wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. You know, something else, as the more we talked about that statement made by Mustafa Carroll of CARE, if we are practicing Muslims, we are above the law of the land. The more we got to talking about that, the more relevant that statement, the more serious that statement is, and the more relevant it's become in what the Islamic mindset is, what the Muslim mindset is, and the dawah that that Muslims now are undertaking, this should set their dawah plan back, because it actually exposes what Islam is doing, what Islam is about, and that simple one sentence statement, that's a scary thing, man. That is scary.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and it's pretty much flown under the radar. The big media hasn't picked it up, and they probably won't. But hopefully, Radio Jihad listeners will push it out and make it a story, because one person can make a difference. 20 people pushing this out, 100 people pushing this story out. It's true, because like you said, you know, it's one sentence. We are above the law. Chilling in its content, chilling in its simplicity, and chilling in what exactly it means relative to our Constitution and Bill of Rights.
Yeah, it is chilling. And you know, the more I read that article, the more we talked about it, the more it really it kind of gives you chills, because it validates that statement. Now validates Robert Spencer, Pam Geller. It validates what Craig Wynne has always said. It validates what we've talked about the last 4 years. And you know what Americans don't understand is that Islam does not believe in man-made law. Mustafa Carroll of CARE confirmed it now. CARE has now confirmed that Islam does not have respect and believe in man-made law. So now we have it straight from the horse's mouth what Islam's true feelings are, despite the campaign that they've waged the last 10 years, the last 12 years, in sanitizing what the religion of peace is supposedly about. That one statement now, has set them back 12 years.
Yeah, and said during Muslim Capital Day, which is a political event, says that there is no separation between mosque and state. They are one and the same. It is a political ideology, period, end of story.
Right. Yep. It's amazing. It's truly amazing that finally, and you knew it was going to happen, you knew that CARE couldn't keep their mouth shut, because they've gotten what's happened is, you know, they've gotten pretty bold since Obama's gotten reelected, haven't they? I mean, Jihad was on Al Jazeera, makes the statement that Islam and the United States are twins, then says that Christopher Columbus didn't discover America first, it was Muslims who did. You know, and you had a feeling that at some point in time they were going to drop the hammer, and they did. And the hammer is that if you're a Muslim, you don't have to adhere to the laws of the land. And I think that's a scary, scary statement, but it's a truthful statement.
Mm-hmm. And for all the interfaith dialogue practitioners who are trying, CARE is primarily one of them, the Islamic Society of North America, all of them their main message is that we are all the same. We're all three Abrahamic faiths. all worshiping one God. And this just sets that back. Says it's not true. Says it is just flat out not true. It's a lie. So
Brigitte
thank you,
Gabriel.
Mustafa.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Brigitte Gabriel has to be proud for what she's done. Her cause has been validated. Michael Savage, his cause has been validated. Robert Spencer, Daniel Pipes, Frank Gaffney, the book, the Team B2 Sharia, Tom Trento, all of these.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the major? Colonel Ralph Peters. You know, this has been General Boykin. They've all been vindicated.
Yep. And the Steve Coughlins of the world and the John Guandolas who have lost careers within the government for saying the truth about Sharia-compliant Islam. Claire Lopez.
Yep.
Mariana Falaci. The list just goes on and on. Yeah, they've all been vindicated by one Mustafa Carroll. Thank you, Mustafa. Humdallah, baby.
Humdallah, humdallah. All right, my brother.
May he go back to Naples.
Yeah.
What's that saying?
Oh, Bafanavola.
There you go.
I don't think Naples wants him either.
Well, the mafia may just do justice to people like that.
There's no such thing as a mafia. Okay.
But if they existed.
If they existed. Yeah, if
I can correct it.
Yes, if they exist. All right, man.
All right, good show.
Have a good evening.
All right. I will talk at you later.
Ciao.
Adios, amigo.